Infinity Games Podcast.
Welcome to the Infinity Games Podcast, Episode 8. I'm Drew Pachiro.
I'm Kelrix King.
If you want to leave us any feedback or tell us anything that you want us to talk about, feel free to comment on our Facebook at Infinity Games Podcast or on our Twitter at games_podcast. So, we're going to open this bitch right up into Mechanics Workshop.
Mechanics Workshop time.
I love the Mechanics Workshop. Dun, 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 dun.
What's our topic, Kelrix?
We're talking about skill points.
Hell yeah.
So, skill point, well, I don't know. It's kind of a vague topic. Jukebox and I were talking about it prior to, of course, recording this episode, and we decided that pretty much what we decided a skill point mechanic to be is it's like you're playing a game, whether chances are it has RPG elements, but it's like your characters level up or you complete a task or something, you get points, and then you're able to distribute them into whatever you want, whether it's, you know, you can jump a little higher, you can, you know, you can do a little more damage, or, you know, something like that, or, you know, you could go into, sorry, go ahead.
The two kind of definitions we had for it, they all start with gaining the points from leveling up, but the way you distribute them can either be through skill trees, like level up your weapon proficiency or whatever, or it can be through stat boosts, like you increase your strength.
Yeah.
So stat boosts, they just kind of help you increase the whatever attribute of your avatar in game. I mean, that's more or less what it is. So
yeah, exactly.
What was your example
that you were going on? I got two mainly, and it's good because it works on both of those pretty much. Is the first one is I've been playing a lot of Dragon Quest VIII lately, and I really, really like how the skill point system works. Essentially, each character has 5 trees that can vary from either 0 points or 100 points. And as you add points into those skill trees, you'll unlock new abilities or you'll do more damage with that weapon type. But you can't just... It's a good balance because you can't just like dump all your points and not worry about it, because if you level from level 1 to level 99, you will get every character in the game gets a grand total of 350 total skill points, which is only enough to max out 3.5 out of the 5 trees. So no matter what, either
the completionist in me cringes.
Yeah, and there is still a way to get a max 500 points. You can farm items called Seeds of Skill and Super Seeds of Skill, which for each one that you use on a character, they get either 5 more points or 10 more points respectively. So, I mean, it doesn't sound too bad, but when you have 6 characters like you do in the 3DS version, that's 180 of those things you need to farm out from one super seed of skill. Yeah, that.
Words are hard.
Per every time you go through the Dragovian Trials, which is in the post game, and it's about a 10-minute fight if you're max level, like I am. I ranted about that last episode, and I finally got everybody to fucking 99.
Yeah, go back and listen to that, episode 7.
Sweet Jesus. It's both one of my proud moments and one of my embarrassing moments. But, so, anyway, back to just the skill points. It's like, the completionist in you, yes, it screams, but it is possible to get there with excess grinding, right?
Still gross.
Right? So, like, the nice thing is, unlike a lot of RPGs where it's like, oh, this boss is tough, I'm just gonna go and get a couple of levels. It's like, if you get to a tough boss, you might have to grind out a few so that you can get a certain attack. Like, for the main hero, his trees are swords, spears, boomerangs, fisticuffs, and courage. Each character has their own weapons and their own personality tree is what it's called. So it's like, the hero has Curis, Yangus has humanity, Jessica has sex appeal. You know, didn't see that one coming. So
fucking Japan.
Right? So of course, like for me personally, when everybody got to 99, for me, for the hero, he had 100 in sword, 100 in spears, 50 in boomerangs, and 100 in courage. And like, I have no issues with him, but there were a couple of times where I had to go and farm some metal slimes because I'd get to a boss and I'm like, shit, I should probably level up my spears some more so I get multi-thrust, or oh shit, I should probably grind my courage up some more so I get like an MP, my MP costs cut in half or whatever. So it definitely adds a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? It adds strategy. A degree of like force, yeah, strategy and foresight, right? Because, of course, if you've played the games before, you kind of have a general idea of what you should put points into. Whereas the very first time you pick up Dragon Quest VIII, if you're not looking at guides or something, you're probably going to be floundering around like a fucking Magikarp out of water, you know? Like,
you know, the only game I can think of right now that has skill trees is Skyrim.
Yeah.
That's probably Skyrim's like the easiest fucking example.
Yeah, Skyrim's good.
I don't know, I'm literally trying to think of anything that has skill trees. And I'm just like blanking hard.
There's a new game that came out called Prey. It's a open world horror RPG game. It looks like a lot of fun, to be completely honest. And that has skill trees from the little bit of gameplay that I've watched. I wanted to buy it, but I'm a little tight on money right now.
Yeah.
So I was like, nah, I better pass. But it's like, from what I understand, you can go down an engineering skill tree, a hacker skill tree, or a, there's a third one. There's three total skill trees, right?
No, so, it's literally called the thing. It just grows your hair really long.
Exactly.
That's your skill.
For sure. And then another game that has skill trees that's really popular is Borderlands.
Yeah, see, I've never played that.
Yeah.
I just know Mohawk Man has the tattoos.
Yeah, exactly. They're good tattoos, too. But, so again, the way Borderlands works is it's very similar to Prey in that it's like you have your main character who has their main class. So it's like, let's say you're playing the first one and you pick the Siren or whatever. Then it's like, she's a Siren, but then she has three, like, kind of subclasses. So I haven't played a whole lot of Borderlands, but essentially, like, how it breaks down is there's, like, damage, support, and defense, to my understanding, right?
Got it.
So it's either hit harder, survive forever, or tank damage. Like, it's pretty basic stuff.
So the second kind of skill points,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a lot more common because it can be used in games that just have RPG elements but aren't necessarily RPGs. So
yeah,
I mean, they can be anything from like adventure games to puzzle games even. But like the best example I have of it is in Castle Crashers. Every time you level up until level 20, you get 2 points to distribute through, you know, strength, defense, speed, whatever. And then after level 20, it's just 1 point.
And
it actually adds a little bit of strategy to Castle Crashers because the way their experience works is when you hit an enemy, you get an experience. You get experience. So if you end up increasing your strength stat too much, you'll only hit the enemy like once or twice to kill it instead of like 5 times. So you get less experience, which means you get less stat points.
I remember when we all played Castle Crashers when we were younger, and I'd always just dump all my points into magic. That's what I did.
I didn't, you know, to stick anything at that point. So I was just like, how do I do the any?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't think I even used the magic attacks. I think I just spammed A.
Probably, knowing you. Yeah, I wish we somehow had recorded footage of like the first couple of times you ever played Call of Duty.
Oh, God. Move, stop,
good times.
Slowly aim, shoot. Move, stop, slowly aim, shoot.
I'm just sitting there like,
die,
I'm just sitting there beside him like, dude, dude, you can do both at the same time. He's like, no, this is working.
Yeah, well, I knew I could do both at the same time. It's just I couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's fucking, it is hard. It's a steep learning curve when you've been living on NES and N64.
Yeah, up to that point, I pretty much had a D-pad and that was it.
Yeah. The way it should be.
But, okay, hold on a second. Well, what else did you have to say about skill points?
The only other thing was, like, another example of, like, you level up, you get some points, you put them in a stat is with Dust and Elysian Tale.
Yeah.
Which I've talked about a little bit before, but essentially when you you level up in Dust, you get a skill gem, and then that skill gem you can put into either health, attack, defense, or fidget. So,
oh, right, you mentioned that before. Yeah,
yeah. So it's similar to, like, in Castle Crashers. Like, you level up, you get some points, you put them in a stat, and then, you know, on your way, and it just kind of boosts your character. It doesn't give you anything special, and it's the same in Dust. And then I like the way they did it, because when you first start the game, there are, I think, like, 12 or 15 total. Like, health has 15, like, 10 to 15 spots or whatever. Attack has 10 to 15, etc. So when you start the game, only 4 out of those are available. So I was like, okay, so it must be like a level cap or something, right? Like, if I grind, then I can't progress. I can't grind more until I get to a certain part in the game, I assume. So I'm playing through, and, like, I put my first one into attack, I put my next one into health, I put my next one into fidget, and then I do defense. And then once I have one, at least one in each, it gives me a fifth slot.
Nice.
So I'm like, okay. So I'm, so it's kind of cool in that it's like, if I leveled up 5 times and I put all of it into attack, then I can't level up attack again until I put at least one more point into health, defense, and fidget, which I think is a really good way to allow you to balance your character out.
Yeah.
So I liked that. That was a nice surprise when I did that. I was like, ooh, nifty. Good. Yeah, I was like, ooh, nifty.
You know, I kind of wonder if in, like, Pokemon, the IVs and EVs and stuff, if those could be technically considered skill points. Just ones that you can't necessarily distribute.
I definitely think it counts, because if you think about it from, like, a hardcore standpoint, it's very easy to distribute them.
Yeah, especially if you're using, like, berries or whatever.
Yeah, berries, or if you're using, like, in the newer games, like the hyper training and the super training and stuff. And then, you know, in the older games, like Diamond and Pearl, if you were doing competitive, it's like you just had to know which Pokemon to fight.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I want speed. I'm going to go fight a bunch of Spearows or whatever, right? Like, so I definitely think it counts. It might be a little more borderline.
Yeah, it's a bit of a stretch. But for people who don't know, in Pokemon, you kind of have, like, your base stats and whatever, and then the stats that you increase depends on which Pokemon you fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, like he said, if you beat Spearow, your speed will increase, as opposed to whatever other stats.
I'll be really technical, really fast. Is each Pokemon, of course, they have their base stat totals, which are easy to find online, and then they have randomized IVs, which stand for individual values. They range from anywhere from, I believe, 1 to 31. And what it is whatever your IV is, you will have that many extra points into that stat once you're level 100. So it's like, if I have a Charizard with 1 special attack IV and I have a Charizard with 31 special attack IVs, when they're both level 100, you know, not taking into account, like, natures and EVs and all that other stuff, the one Charizard would have, like, 331 attack, whereas the other Charizard would have 362 special attack, because it has more IVs. And then EVs are, like, what Jukebox just said, is each Pokemon in the game, when they're defeated in battle, will drop a specific amount of EVs, which are invisible. You don't know they're there unless you know they're there. And for every four EVs, which stand for effort values, for every four EVs you get, you gain one extra point during your next level up. So, like, if I have a level 99 Pokemon, doesn't matter who, and I go and grind, let's say I have no EVs, and I go grind a shit ton of fucking Spearows, then I might level up to level 100 and get, like, 40 points into my speed. It's unlikely. I don't think that's actually how it works, but it's, like, that's how it goes, is for every 4 points, you get one more point into that stat during your next level up.
Everyone listening who ever thought they wanted to get into competitive Pokemon no longer wants to get into competitive Pokemon.
don't do it. Don't do it.
It's not worth it.
No, it's painful. Do it if you want to, like, fuck your friends over really hardcore, but...
Yeah, maybe.
That's about it. I mean, that's what I did to our one buddy. I was like, yeah, let's Pokemon battle. I just learned about EVs and stuff, so I did, like, a little bit of, like, EV training and breeding for good natures and stuff, and I curb stomped him.
Yeah.
He was like, what did you do? I'm like,
get wrecked, lol hacks.
Lol hacks.
Oh, God.
So, I think that about wraps up our little mechanics workshop on skill points.
Yeah, that was the first one in, like, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So, that's the only segment that we're going to do today. And our main topic is nothing.
Yeah, we're actually just probably going to... We're going to bullshit about random goings-ons and, like, this game and that game and, well, that kind of thing.
I've had a question that's been bothering me for a little bit now.
Yes, so, I love questions.
When... You know how everyone refers to a UFO now and they're actually talking about a flying saucer, right?
Yes.
So, back in the 50s and stuff, when all those It Came From Mars type movies and books and stuff were coming out and whatnot, did UFO still mean unidentified flying object back then? Or did they associate UFO with flying saucers? Because I kind of feel like That's very soon after, like, World War II. I imagine if you're in, like, the military or something, UFO has a much different meaning than flying saucer. And that soon out of the war, most people would still associate UFO with something more dangerous and not so specific.
It's one of those things where I feel like it's just kind of like whichever spectrum you lean on, because it's like, if I hear UFO, I still just think unidentified flying object, because it's like, that's just it. That's what it is until it lands, and then you know what it is, and plus at that point, it's no longer a flying object anyway, so I'm kind of dumb like that, I guess, but it's hard to say. I would assume that you also have to take into consideration, I wonder how many people were ignorant of the fact that it meant unidentified flying object. I can't imagine how many people thought that UFO was just another word for flying saucer or whatever, right? Or yeah, spaceship.
I mean, like, for me, I didn't know that until I was well into my teens, because I'd only ever heard UFO in relation to, like, flying saucers.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder if, like, that's why I kind of started wondering this, because, like, you know, way back when, you know, soon after the war, I'm sure everyone knew UFO was unidentified flying object. They didn't.
Most likely.
It's like they just knew the acronym. That was it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Because
I'm really not sure.
I don't remember where it was or when it was, but it was like the most reported UFO sighting or whatever. I think it was like the 90s. I don't know. But it was a UFO sighting, and then the government was like, oh, yeah, it's just a weather balloon. And then there's a bunch of other conspiracy theories and stuff amongst this. But if we assume it was a weather balloon, it is technically an unidentified flying object to all these people who are calling in, but they're calling it a UFO when they mean flying saucer, right?
Yeah.
So it's just weird to me. It's like... The whole thing with Mars and how all the Martians came from Mars, and that's where all of that, like, pop culture, media, horror, thriller movies, books, all that stuff came from, was because a very famous astronomer who had a lot of money So he had his own telescope. And by telescope, I mean like observatory style telescope where it's like fucking massive. He spent his life mapping out the canals of Mars. And what we found out like very recently, like within the last 5 years, is the type of lens he was using would reflect a map of his eye back into the like optical nerve. So that's what he saw. So all these canals and stuff is really the blood veins in his eye.
That's fucking hilarious.
And, you know, of all people, you know, like an optometrist was the one to discover this like 100 and whatever years later. But that's where the whole thing about Martians from Mars was. It's because this one guy was mapping out all these canals and he's like, oh, the way these look, the way this blah, blah, it has to be fluid. It has to be water. You know, water sustains life, therefore life. Martians, they created these canals because they're way deeper than regular ones, blah, blah, blah. And so fucking pop culture grasped onto that and Martians from Mars. Mars Attacks, you know?
Yeah. At the end of the day, I think people who say that there's nothing except us out there, I think they're just so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if I'm gonna step on somebody's toes here, but if that's what you think, then I feel sorry for you. Like, our universe is endlessly huge.
Yeah.
Like, endlessly huge. And you honestly think in your head that we are the only intellectual species alive?
Yeah, it's like we're one solar system on one star of several billion stars in our galaxy amongst several billions or trillions of fucking galaxies. So I feel like it's ignorant to believe that Earth is the only place to have any sort of life.
Yeah.
I don't find it totally unbelievable that we might be the only intelligent life in
that
this
is
kind of regard.
Potentially.
But
I
thoroughly believe that there are places out there, no matter where the fuck they are, like places that we'll never see in our lifetimes or any lifetime because space is expanding, that could even have microbial life, single-celled organisms and stuff.
That's just it. It's like, no matter what, it's like bacteria is somewhere except this planet. That's just how, it is. And eventually, then, you know, shit gets cultivated. There's just, in my head, there's no way it's possible that we are the only planet who is in a good range of a star that, you know, we don't die of 1,000-degree heats and we don't freeze of negative thousands of degree heats. You know, we're in a fucking really solid orbit. Like, there's no way we're the only one, and we're the only planet with an ozone layer, assuming that whatever else is out there even needs an ozone layer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you don't know.
Yeah, because there's only life as we know it so far.
Yeah.
What's to say that, you know, in the deep recesses of space under some insane amount of gravity of a massive planet, that the laws of physics as we know it don't function the same way that we can experience here? Because we know for a fact when things get super massive or when they get super tiny, they get all wibbly wobbly. That's why there's quantum mechanics. That's at the point where like our laws of gravity and stuff that Newton, you know, came up with, I mean, they don't quite work anymore at that point. So what's to say under some super massive gravity that, you know, iron microbes or something, like something that forms out of iron instead of carbon.
Yeah.
Actually, that's kind of a stretch still, because never mind. But still,
well, you never know.
Point there.
There's the other thing. It's like if you're not like if you're getting kind of torn and confused on like Jukebox talking about like quantum mechanics, like just go watch the Interstellar movie with Matthew McConaughey.
I've
like,
never seen that.
It's really good. It's kind of mindfucky, but it's really good. So, like, slight spoiler alert. At one point, because the premise is, like, Earth is dying. They need to go and find another habitable planet, etc., etc. So, they fuck off in outer space. And what had happened is there had been, like, a 10-man team of astronauts that had shot into space looking for other hospitable planets, and then if they found something that, you know, it had air and whatever, they would hit a signal, it would go back, and they'd be like, "Okay, this planet's hospitable, I'll wait here, come rescue me, let's populate, etc., right?
Okay.
So there's one point where they come to this planet, and they're like, the quantum, like, I can't remember exactly how they word it, but, like, the gravity and the quantum mechanics and, like, the density mat and all that other shit is all so fucked up to the point where they, two of them out of the three-man crew, two of them fly down to the planet, are there for 30 to 40 minutes in their, you know, heads. They're only there for 30 to 40 minutes. They only experience 30 to 40 minutes of time. They grab the remains of this person's capsule, who isn't there anymore. They're, unfortunately, they're gone. They're assumed dead, etc. They get off the planet, go back, and the third guy has been in cryo for 30 fucking years.
So, I haven't seen the movie, and I know there's always pseudoscience and whatnot like that in these kinds of movies, but that sounds more like a general special relativity type thing.
It's something like that, but it's...
Because with it's general and special relativity, it's all the perception. It's like, because if I just make an assumption and say, like, the planet is spinning near the speed of light, everything will appear slower.
Yeah.
To you on the planet, but to people watching the planet, that shit's going fast as fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh god, I remember, because I took general and special relativity in university, the amount of questions we had where it's like, a train is traveling near the speed of light and goes through a tunnel. The train is 10 feet long. The tunnel is 15 feet long. How long does the train appear to someone watching it go into the tunnel? How long does the train think it is? How far into the tunnel is the train actually to someone who's in the train? And how far away from the tunnel is it to someone standing on land watching the train?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, this bitch is going to stretch, and it just gets all kinds of fucked up.
Yep.
But here's an example of quantum mechanics for people who are just like, oh man, that's fucking gibberish to me. Imagine there's a basketball on a hill. Our laws of physics would dictate if something pushed it, it would roll down that hill. It would go down. And it would go along the hill and, you know, roll away.
And stop eventually.
Yeah. Quantum mechanics, there's something called quantum tunneling. So, and like I said, this stuff happens when you're at, like, the level of, like, atoms, quarks, neutrons, stuff like that, where it's, like, the very building blocks of all matter. You could have that ball on that hill. Say it's an electron. And then, without... it just spontaneously appears in the middle of the hill. And spontaneously appears on the other side of the hill. Quantum tunneling, that's pretty much what it is. And it's fucking weird. So, like,
that is weird.
If you have an atom, you got the electron spinning around it, you know, for split instances of time, that electron can appear inside of the atom.
Yeah.
Which does not make sense from our laws of physics.
And yet, in some other outstretched place in the world, that's fucking standard, and the idea of a ball getting pushed and rolling down a hill is fucking gibberish to them.
Yeah. I mean, depends how far your belief goes, or your suspension of disbelief, or your conspiracy theories, I guess. If you believe there's, like, hyper-intelligent beings out there, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson talks about this a lot, where it's like, if they were colonizing other planets and, you know, we're not alone out there and they discover us or whatever, you know, what's stopping them from looking at us and seeing us as we see monkeys? Like, they will look at Stephen King and they're like, hey, we found the smartest of their kind. He can do quantum mechanic calculations in his head. And they're like, oh, that's cute. Jimmy's, like, 3 weeks old and he can do that. Like, he brings home his homework and we just put it on the fridge and it's, like, quantum tunneling calculations stuff.
How to build a planet in 10 days. You mean Stephen Hawking, by the way, not Stephen King.
Did I say Stephen King?
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. Yeah, I meant Stephen Hawking.
I was like, wait a fucking minute.
You know what's horrible is I'm pretty sure that was a joke on fucking Rick and Morty. It's like, yeah, see, I'm as smart as Stephen King. His wife's just like, it's Stephen Huck. Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel stupid now.
Nah, you're good, you're good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another point, too, that colonialism and the idea of kind of taking other planets to be our own, claiming land, stuff like that, is a human invention. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends how deep you look at that. You know, animals have territorial stuff and whatnot, but they all kind of coexist. So if there is a super hyper-intelligent being, they're probably smarter than to start fucking wars and steal things from others. So what reason would they ever have to come to Earth and colonialize us? Or even interact with us for any reason?
Like,
that's another point that Neil deGrasse brings up as well. I really like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I still love how your mom thought he was just an actor, and you're like, no, no, he's like PhD astrophysicist. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, to her defense, it's not like she pays attention to the science community or anything like that, and he is the famous face of science right now. So for all she knew, he could have been like a grade 12 science teacher, you know, knows the basics of physics, stuff like that, and then he just reads from the script, not actually knowing what it all is.
Of course, I totally understand it from her point of view. It's just, it's still funny.
Yeah.
Because that's just it. That's like, anytime you're watching TV and anything science comes up, it's like, who's there? Neil deGrasse Tyson, like 9 out of 10 times. So, you know, it's not hard at all to think that he's probably just an actor reading off a script that, you know, Stephen Hawking wrote or whatever.
1 out of 10 times, it's Bill Nye.
Yeah, 1 out of 10 times it's Bill Nye.
The other science guy.
Bill.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Yeah, you saw science your teacher rolling that.
Science is cool.
Jesus. You saw your teacher roll that in on a fucking Friday afternoon, and you were like, yes.
Yeah, that was the shit. Apparently, because he does a new show, and I think it's on Netflix, but I'm not totally sure.
Yeah, it's called Bill Nye Saves the World. I haven't watched it, though.
Yeah, I've been seeing a little bit of controversy coming of it. I don't know. I still want to see it because it's Bill Nye.
Yeah, I've been tempted to watch, like, the first episode or whatever. I just haven't actually gotten around to it. But, I don't know. Netflix is releasing a lot of stuff that's being, quote-unquote, you know... Shit, what was the word we literally just used?
Controversial.
That one.
Yeah, that one.
Because it's like Bill Nye comes out and now people are shitting on it, and then it's like 13 Reasons Why came out and people were shitting on it, and then this new one called Dear White People came out and people are shitting on it. If anybody's ever watched The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, I hope you remember this, but there's an episode where they have like Japanese ambassadors coming to the hotel. And the smarter of the two twins, the Cody, he's been practicing Japanese and everything. So they're trying to communicate to the Japanese ambassadors, and he's like, I got this, you know? So he goes up, and he tries to translate, and it gives you subtitles, and he says, I have a wasp's nest in my pants. And the Japanese ambassadors, they like, freak out. They start, like, swatting the air around them, and they run out of the hotel, and he's just like, All I said was, do you like chocolate bars or something? And I'm just like, oh.
Oh, God.
So, I always loved that. That was a good episode.
I don't remember that, but I watched Zack and Cody, like, all the time.
Oh, me too.
I mean, reruns and reruns, because, like, my sister watched it, so I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't think I ever really watched Sweet Life on Deck much. I think I was past it at that point.
I watched some of it for, like, you know, Saturday morning cartoons and that kind of thing, but for the most part, I kind of skipped over it. It was good, but it didn't have the same je ne sais quoi.
What?
It didn't have the same, like, comical childhood pull, because it's like, at that point, they're all, like, 16, 17, right?
And we're also, like, 16, 17.
Yeah, so it's like they're on this cruise.
They were older than us by a while, but
oh, probably.
Just a couple years.
I'm pretty sure. You know what? I'm curious. I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna look up how old the twins are now. I'm pretty sure they're 24.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're still older than me, right?
Yeah. Well, they're definitely older than you. Oh yeah, they were born August. They were both born August 4th, 1992. So they'll be 25 pretty soon.
So, no, yeah. Dude, they are 20. Wait, what?
They're,
yeah, they're 24.
They're 24.
They turn,
yeah,
25.
They'll be 20. Yeah, they'll be 25 soon.
Yeah, they're more or less the same age as my sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, so it's like you watch a sweet, the sweet life of Zach and Cody in the hotel, and it's just like every episode is like some more hilarious bullshit, right? Whereas Sweet Life on Deck, I found for the most part it was like them trying to get laid. And I'm like, guys, you're on a cruise ship. Gosh. You're on a cruise ship. You don't have many options. Like,
yeah, fucking.
But yeah,
it was weird. We used to watch like mostly like Nickelodeon and Teletoon.
Yep.
And family. I mean, that was about it. And like literally today, we got rid of our children's package on our cable.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same package we had back then, though, because we used to have satellite and things changed and whatever. But it's just really weird to actually just have none of those channels anymore.
Right?
Because, like, the only reason we even had it for a while there is because I'd watch Adventure Time and Regular Show. And then for an even shorter time, I watched My Little Pony on TV. Because here in Canada, we'd get that on Treehouse, which is, like, the little kids network. And I mean, we were like 2 months behind on episodes every week anyway, so I just watched it online when I could.
Yeah. Are we going to go see the movie when it comes out in October?
What movie?
They're making like an actual like My Little Pony movie. Like it's not Equestria Girls or anything. It's actual My Little Pony.
Yeah, I could probably dig it if we go to like the 9 o'clock show. Because then all the kids are in bed.
Because I know
that's when the
bronies
come out.
There's lots of, like, big-name actors in it.
Yeah? Like, as voices? Like or is it, like, the
regular
cast?
No, like, as voices.
Okay.
Because, of course, yeah, there's the regular cast, but then there's also a lot of them are, like, Emily Blunt, Liev Schreiber, Zoe Saldana voices one of them.
It's funny, because so, I don't actor, so I don't know any of these people.
Okay, so...
don't try and explain it, I'll never know.
I was just gonna say that, like, the one is, like, Zoe Saldana is the lady that plays Gamora in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. She's the green one, right?
Yeah, she's the green one. Liev Schreiber played Wolverine, or not Wolverine, sorry, he played Sabretooth in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
I don't know him.
Yeah, no, he's a really big, bulky guy, really deep voice.
Okay.
But yeah, so they got, like, a lot of cool, like, big-name actors in it, so I'm actually very excited for it.
Well, I hope it's good, because you know how I feel about big-name actors as voice actors.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking I mean, Disney Ghibli releases.
Yeah, it should be cool, because there's, like, they're introducing a lot of new stuff. Like, there's a sea pony, for one.
Oh, God, this is, like, the original.
Yeah, kind of.
You know, I actually have the original My Little Pony movie on VHS.
Oh my god.
Because back when we actually watched that stuff, I was like, Mohawk Man will get a kick out of this, because I just happened upon it when I was at a secondhand store. So I picked it up for like $2, and then we never watched it.
Lol.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jukebox and I very much enjoyed My Little Pony. I don't think you've watched any of it in a very long time, neither have I.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was after the third. I think it was after the third, maybe the fourth season. Because I know
did
for
they get
a fact
the rainbow that, powers thing?
Because I know for a fact I haven't seen it the fifth season, and I'm pretty sure they're on like fucking six or seven now.
I think they either just did seven or they just started it or something. I know they finished episode six.
You mean season six?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. I mean, I really just fell out of it. Because I have so many interests and hobbies that I can't fucking hold on to all of them all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, ponies just got to the point where it's like me and you, and then Mohawk Man was off in fucking headcanon world, and the others fell out of it too. And then there's some that were just never into it. Right?
That honestly kind of bothered me a little is it's like how Mohawk Man was like all fan fiction, and I'm like, you're getting a little too far out into the spectrum there, bud.
Yeah, I mean, it's like fucking 6 years later or whatever, he still hasn't finished the second season, but he's still into ponies, so.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that so distinctly because it was the episode that came out on my birthday that year was the last one he watched. And that was 2012.
Apple Family Reunion, that's the one he's still stuck on.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, that bothered me a little bit too, but mm-hmm. I mean, power to him. The fandom is pretty creative.
Yeah.
All fandoms. Man, fucking fandoms bother me, but I still love them.
Right?
Because, like, I sit on the edge of the fandom because I don't, like, make anything artsy or fanfics or comics or anything like that, but I still indulge of some of the stuff other people make. But, like, I love the Sonic the Hedgehog comics and I love the games. That was, like, the first fandom to become completely fucking toxic.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that is the prime example of a toxic community because of, like, all the deviant art stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm super sad because the Sonic the Hedgehog comics are still technically canceled. They just ended.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, because they didn't renew their licensing agreement.
Makes me sad.
Yeah.
I was going to mention how, like, on Instagram, okay. Like, the one fandom that I'm, like, 100% fucking obsessed with is the Percy Jackson series.
Yeah.
Like, I love that stuff. For anybody who doesn't know, it's a very large run of books that's still going, and the main concept is demigod children of the Greek gods. And then they, you know, they go on quests, they have powers, etc., etc. So, it's super fucking good. I love it. I love it so much. So, on Instagram, I've liked some pages that post, like, you know, cute what-if things and stuff. And a lot of them post headcanons that I literally read, and I'm just sitting there like, are you fucked? Like, this contradicts, like, six different things that happens in the books.
Oh, God, I love when it happens that someone creates a headcanon and then the fandom kind of holds it as truth because it's like a little something that they don't think it's ever going to be answered. And then in the actual show or book or whatever, they fucking address it and everyone's headcanon just explodes.
Yeah, and I'm like, lol.
And then you find out who's really a fan of the show or who just wants to be in the fandom, because at that point they'll be like, oh yeah, the show makes sense, it's in the show. Or they'll be like, fuck that, it's this thing from before.
See, like, here's one, for example. So, minor spoiler warning. Like, it's like, this happens in the fifth book of the first series, and this headcanon is incorrect, so I'm not going to be spoiling what actually happens for you. Okay?
Okay.
So, it's a little long, but I'm going to read through it real quick, and then I'll also quickly explain why it's complete fucking bullshit. So, it says, Percy thought long and hard, what gift could he request? His mind took him back to different places. He saw Nico's face just before he ran away. He saw Selina's gaze drift from Clarice and off to nowhere. He saw the expression Beckendorf made when he mouthed go to Percy. Suddenly the answer was crystal clear. I want them back, Percy said, his voice unusually steady. Who? Zeus demanded, growing impatient. Everyone who died for this stupid war, good or bad, I want them back. The gods looked awestruck at Percy's request. You dare speak to him like that? Hera stirred, but Zeus silenced her with a hand motion. You want everyone, even your enemies, back, he tilted his head. Percy nodded, keeping his jaw set. A few of the gods glanced at Hades, who shrugged. One does not meddle with life and death. My son learned that not long ago. You cannot just ask me to resurrect a dead human, let alone half an army. Percy was baffled at how cold Hades was being. They were just kids. Percy's face went tomato red. They shouldn't have to pay with their life just because they fought for the right cause or were persuaded to fight for the wrong one, he argued. And Hades stood up. I am telling you, it's not possible, no matter how unfair, he stated, his eyes seeming to hold fire within them. Percy's shoulders dropped. What about Nico? His voice had lowered to an almost whisper. Hades was speechless, his lips set in a firm line. Percy shook his head, not realizing he was crying. I don't want anything from you. I'm done, he said with finality and stormed out. How, like, It's stupid for six different reasons.
Was
first
that the
of
book
all,
or the fandom
no, that,
fiction or
that's
whatever.
That's just some dumb fan fiction thing.
Okay.
What actually happens in the book, again, minor spoiler warning, is they finish the war and Percy is offered to become a god. And he's like, about that, I kind of like this girl. I'm going to stay mortal so I can get my shindigs on with her, you dig? True story. That's actually exactly how it's written, word from word. Check it out.
Oh, I'm totally sure.
No. But so what he requests instead is that none of the mortal, no children get ignored anymore. He's like, we're going to build cabins for every god and minor god at the camp so nobody has to get ignored, because the main thing that started the whole war in the first place was like kids feeling like their parents, like their godly parents, didn't care, so they were like, fuck it, we're gonna burn Olympus down because that'll solve all our angsty teenage problems. So
oh god,
it's stupid, because it's like, first of all, at that point Percy's fully aware that you don't fuck with life and death,
right?
There are very, very few exceptions in the series. Like, he's talking about, what about Nico? Nico never dies. He almost died, and then he got put in a hotel that has a fucked up sense of time, so he aged like 4 years and 70 passed or whatever.
Yay!
Like,
I'm an adult now, right? I can vote.
Right? So, like, this kid's like 14, living in 2012, and he was born in 44 or whatever, you know. So like, he's an exception. There is one character who's literally like brought back from the dead, and that's like, she dies, and then Nico himself, who just to clarify, Nico is the son of Hades, so he finds her just chilling, and he, like, she's still sentient somehow, which you're not supposed to be after you pass into the underworld. It's because she's also a child of Hades.
Oh,
so
boy.
He's like, you don't belong here, and he takes her out of the underworld, so he brings her back to life. But, I mean, that's one example. Like, what this is talking about, like, it's, I don't know, it's just shit like that. I'll find it on Instagram, and I'll read it, and I'm like,
Nope, I reject your headcanon, fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, as partially interesting as that is, like, if you're going to write fan fiction, either write it from scratch or go off of already existing facts. Don't try and weave your own garbage in there.
I'm trying to think of, because, like, video games, like, most of the fucking fanfics and, like, theories and stuff always relate to them being in fucking comas.
Right?
Like, Pokemon, you know? Everyone knows that one. Yep. Ash is in a coma, everything's in his mind.
That's why he doesn't age.
Yeah, shit like
no,
that.
No, he doesn't age because it's a fucking cartoon.
Right. And then there's the one about Rugrats, and then eventually we got Rugrats All Grown Up, the, like, show or whatever, yeah. And it's just like, your headcanon sucks even more now.
I do like that Rugrats one, though, because it's really dark, but it's super interesting,
yeah,
right?
It's kind of compelling, but, like,
it is.
We all fucking know it's not true.
Yeah, exactly. There are people who take it to an extreme, too. Like, there are people who took that Rugrats theory, which, for anybody who doesn't know, it's essentially that Angelica is the only living toddler, and all of the other ones are figments of her imagination, and it's like, Tommy was a stillborn, Chucky died in childbirth with his mother, and that's why his dad's like a nervous wreck all the fucking time, and Tommy was a stillborn, so that's why his dad constantly builds toys for the child he never had, and like all this other shit. Like, it's done very well, it's very compelling, and it's interesting to think about. And then there are people who take that and then apply it to All Grown Up, and I'm like, it's not how it works, you guys. You can't just be like, shit, everything went belly up. Here, I'm going to roll you back over, beached whale. Like,
I mean, I can't hate on fan fiction too much because I have read my fair share. But, like, for the most part with fan fictions, it's like someone has a story. They want to express their creativity, whatnot. They know if they apply it to their own characters, like even things where you can just change the names to someone else and it'll be a completely different story. I mean, they won't get the views. Their stuff won't get out there. Like, I mean, it might, but for the most part, it's hard to garner an audience, right? So if you apply the names and characters from Percy Jackson, then mm-hmm. your story can get out there where people will see it.
Yeah, exactly. It's one thing that really drives me nuts as far as fandoms go is I love Supernatural, right? It's a really good TV show.
If you say so.
And it is.
I don't TV very
only
much.
Thing that you ever see online is, oh, Dean and Cass are gay for each other.
You know, no. I can attest to this because of fucking Tumblr.
Right? That's the only thing you see. Is it's like, Destiel this and Destiel this. And I'm like, oh my god, there's nothing there. And people are like, oh, it's subtext. They love each other too much for it to just be best friends and stuff. I'm like, no, that's called non-blood related familial love. Like, it's not a fucking hard concept. That's like, I'd take a bullet for you.
I don't know if that would kind of hurt.
I mean, I don't give a shit. I'll take a bullet for you. You can be a fucking asshole, hurt my feelings. But,
How about we just don't get into that situation and I'll take like a punch for you. That's a little less
good.
Damaging.
All right, cool. Let's go with that. But like, that's just it. So there are parts in the show where it's like Cass is brainwashed and he's beating the shit out of Dean or whatever. And he's like, we need you. And it's like, oh, of course they need him. He's a fucking superpowered angel. I'd want that shit on my team. Like, come on.
Right.
Like, there's all this stuff. And there's lots of, like, jokes and
who's your
all
favorite
this.
Anime ship?
Yeah, right? Dean and Cass.
That's not anime.
Or were you actually asking?
Sure, why not?
No, oh, fuck, I don't got one. Here, hang on. To the Googles.
Fucking Nisekoi. Raku and Tsumugi.
She's the brown-haired one, right?
No, she was the super spy sleuth, whatever, that protects...
Oh, right.
Chitoge.
She's fun. I was cheering for them the whole time, yeah. Too, but yeah, no. They're, okay, like, my main...
Because I fucking love tsundere's.
Yeah.
Fucking Nisekoi's filled with them.
It
has every kind
Nisekoi.
Of J in there.
Yeah, I liked Nisekoi. I did. I feel like it could have ended like 100 chapters sooner,
oh,
but
God, yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
But my main like number one anime ship was always like Naruto and Hinata from Naruto, and I mean, they're officially married and have kids and shit in the canon now. So like, I'm fucking cool with that. Like,
everyone who had Naruto and Sasuke because they kissed that one time, get wrecked.
Lol. That actually gets brought up during like the final war. The Nine-Tailed Fox actually brings that up.
Really?
Yeah, nice. Naruto's like, shut up. And then another good one that I was always a fan of is like Edward Elric and Winry Rockbell from Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Did that ever become
it's
a
like
thing?
I can't remember. In the official manga and stuff, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'd assume it would eventually.
I mean,
happen.
I watched like maybe 10 or 15 episodes of like the 4Kids version, like the original Full Metal like anime.
Yeah,
that's about the extent I have on Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah, but yeah, there's I don't know. There's lots.
I don't know. Anime ships are weird because.
Especially
since like 2007, where every anime ever became best girl the anime.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking K-On! Lucky Star started in like 07, and then it's like Code Geass, and then it's like just keeps getting bigger and bigger to the point where we now have like Love Live, where it's literally like 42 fucking girls. Which is your favorite? Ship 'em.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's how like Akiba 48 actually is in real life.
My main issue as far as shipping goes is the people who just don't follow certain rules. You know what I mean? Like, they do, they ship things, and it's like, God, I hope they're not serious half the time, but it's like, they ship things that literally just have zero business being shipped.
Yeah, it's like, I ship Haruhi Suzumiya and L from Death Note.
It's like, No! No!
Oh, shit, dude, did I tell you? I actually found the second Death Note live-action movie on DVD.
Oh, shit.
Because, like, I found the first one, like, half a year ago. And fucking...
I can't...
What?
Go ahead.
No, finish. Fucking... Just last week, I was looking for movies for my sister, and goddamn, Death Note live action 2, and the fucking prequel story from L Save the World. It's like, I didn't even know these fucking existed.
Me either. I know they're, have you seen the trailer for the new Death Note movie that's coming out?
I think I looked it up once, because everyone was so pissed off about whitewashing or something.
Yeah, that's pretty standard. Well, that's like with the Attack on Titan live action. Everybody was like, oh, the actor should be European. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you. Like, every 90% of anime characters don't look Japanese or whatever. So,
yeah. I mean, that's, you know, a whole that's argument just, amongst itself. If exactly, I do remember correctly, like, though, with Death Note, didn't they get like an all-American type cast, but didn't they also give them like American names and stuff?
Because
if that's the case, I feel like that's a true Western adaption.
For the, like, this new movie you're saying?
Yeah, for the, like, Netflix, whatever, Death Note.
Hang on a second, let's find out.
Because...
Yeah, they did.
Even just from, like, as an anime fan, it always feels weird when we have the translation or whatever in subtitles, and they're still using, like, Chan, San... You know, Kun, stuff like that, the honorifics and whatnot, yeah. Because we're trying to translate it into our language so that we can understand. So why are we still including these things that are only kind of existent in Japanese and other languages with honorifics?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I understand it, and it's just, what is a true translation, really?
I don't know. All I know is they did, You're right, they did change the names. Like, the main character isn't Light Yagami now, it's Light Turner.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Which, no, it's alright. Like, how does the
Death Angel guy look?
Ryuk? He looks fucking sick.
So, is he still CG'd, like, the live-action movie, or is he more like puppet or something, do you know?
I do believe he's CG'd.
Ah, oh, damn it.
Here, give me a hot second here. I'll try and find a picture of it.
Okay. Because I know, like, in the live-action Japanese movie, they're CG'd, but, I mean, they don't look terrible. And, you know, CG's improved significantly in the past 10 years, but, like, if they could have made it, like, puppeted, oh my god. Because that shit, as long as your puppets look good, it's ageless. Like, the original Jurassic Park, the dinosaurs still look super real because they were puppets. If they were CG'd, no way in hell would we look at it now and be like, haha, awesome, I'm still scared. We'd look at it and be like, oh god, look at those polygons.
Okay, there, I just dropped a picture in Discord.
Oh, they have William Dafoe. Doesn't he, like, voice him or something? Oh god, it's going to be so good.
It's going to be so good.
All he ever does is villains.
Could you imagine him as, like, a really good, upstanding guy? Just like, eh, what's your motive?
I mean, he probably is in some things, but, like... So I know earlier I said I don't know actors at all. I actually had to look up William Dafoe because I watched Spider-Man back in, like, 2001. And then I watched The Boondock Saints, like, a couple, like, 2 years ago or something. I'm like, he sounds really familiar. And, like, it's just like, who is that guy? And I, like, looked him up and made positive that I'd fucking remember his name.
Like, he's gonna be an Aquaman? Weird.
Is he Aquaman?
No, he plays a character called Nidus Volko, or whatever.
I didn't know there was gonna be an Aquaman. Wait, that's DC, right?
Yep.
Oh, I hope it's not shit.
No, I mean, fucking just Aquaman himself looks pretty good. They've got, what's his name? Jason Momoa playing him.
Yeah.
He plays, He also plays Khal Drogo in Game of Thrones. He's like
as it goes over my head.
Yeah, I know you don't TV, but it's he's a really, really big Hawaiian guy.
Okay.
Like he's a really good actor. I remember Drogo. Too. Yeah, yeah.
I've seen about halfway through season 6 at this point.
Yeah.
I can't remember why we stopped, but I'm just waiting for my girlfriend to watch more.
But yeah, so yeah, that's he's playing Aquaman.
I can dig it.
Mm-hmm. So can my girlfriend. Jason Momoa is like her number one man crush. That's like
yeah, close enough.
She likes Sebastian Stan too. He plays the Winter Soldier in the Captain America movies.
Okay.
So there's a part in Civil War where they're running and we're in the movie theater, right? So there's a part where the Winter Soldier, he's running down the highway and then he like reaches out with his like metal robot arm.
Yeah.
And he grabs this dude off a motorcycle and then he like spins the motorcycle around in midair, gets on it and then like speeds off on it. Like one.
You mean Bucky?
Yeah, Bucky.
Yeah, okay. I know him then.
Okay, good. So yeah, the part where he like grabs the motorcycle and like flips it around and then like drives off in like one smooth motion.
Yeah.
So I reach over and I put my hand above my girlfriend's lap and I like make a motion pushing down and I was like, put that away. Cause she just had like the biggest like lady boner face on her right then. She was like, oh my God. I'm just Jesus. Like, put that away. We're in the movie theater. She laughed pretty hard.
I don't know. I can't
I'm excited
remember
for that.
When I saw Winter Soldier. I mean, I might have seen it in theaters, but probably not.
I mean, I know, like, me, Mohawk Man, and a couple of other guys, and my girlfriend, of course, we went and saw it at the Cineplex.
Yeah, then I definitely didn't see it.
I didn't think so.
I don't go to Cineplex for anything but, like, anime.
Yeah.
It's not worth the drive or the money.
Yeah, because that's the only place the anime goes to.
Yeah. So, usually it's Elvin Pictures, but every once in a while, the Cineplexes in our city will get whatever current anime movie. And usually it's like a single showing, and if you show up early enough, you can get like special little goodies and stuff. Like, I have like an autograph card from Madoka Magica 3 Rebellion, and I have like a signed autograph sheet from Anohana.
Nice.
Man. Do you fucking remember how pissed I was about that? Because
I want to say yes.
Like, there was a whole bunch of horseshit surrounding getting there. So I ended up getting there like 10 minutes before it even started. So I felt lucky enough to get the autograph sheet. But apparently, everyone pretty much got an autograph sheet. But the real big thing is they had envelopes with like letters from all the characters from within the movie, which is like the big crying climax type thing. And there was like 2 at the Southside Cineplex. The fucking Damn. One in West Ed, they had like 100 of them. So they had a fucking distribution problem right there. But like, my fucking God. Like, pretty much everyone in the one theater got one, and then 2 people at ours did.
That's nuts.
I was so sad. I wanted it so bad. Little collectible pieces of paper. Fucking, you know how we were talking about, like, shipping just a moment ago and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went with my brother-in-law to see Evangelion 3.
Mm-hmm.
3.0. And there was some, like, teenage girl in front of us, like, squealing, literally squealing over Shinji and that other guy. Fucking angel guy, because they have an intimate moment in the movie where like they're playing piano and stuff together, and like they touch hands and Shinji like blushes and stuff, and she's like yaoi fangirling over this thing in the middle of the theater, like oh my god
Jesus Christ.
I'm sitting there like, please shut the fuck up.
Oh my God, you want to hear a fucking anime movie in theaters horror story?
What?
So you remember how the new Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie dropped a while back, right?
Right.
Have you seen that yet? if and when I buy it, you come over, we'll watch it.
Okie doke.
But, so, my friend, I'm going to call him Count Crotchula because that's his gamer tag. So,
okie doke.
me and my girlfriend, he's one of our best friends, right? So he lives in the middle of fucking buttfuck nowhere. So I tell him, dude, this movie's coming out, and he loves Yu-Gi-Oh! Like just as much as I do. So he's like, oh shit. He's like, I'm making a trip. Like, I'm gonna save up some money, I'm gonna come down for the weekend, we're gonna go see the movie. I'm like, fucking, that's what I'm talking about. Let's do it. So the time comes around, he comes down. I got the tickets ahead of time and all that. You and your girlfriend were gonna come, but then scheduling conflicts and shit.
Yeah,
because I think she had to work or something, unfortunately. Yeah. But so we go, we sit down, and we had the loudest idiots in the world sitting beside us.
Oh fuck! You told me about this.
It was so bad.
Yeah,
it was like anything happened, like. Kaiba, like, spun on the spot, and these guys behind us were like, oh, shit! No, we're just like...
lose your goddamn mind.
And then, the final, like, duel happens, and they're all like, it's time to do-do-do, and we're just like, shut the fuck up!
They were probably high.
I'm gonna shove a blue eyes up your fucking ass pretty quick, and not the card!
Just get one of those really pointy, like, statue things we had as kids.
I mean, yeah. Do you remember the old Blue Eyes toy that I had? It shot the thing out of its mouth?
Yeah, like the little Nerf dart thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shove that up his ass.
Oh, God. I remember I had...
Blue Eyes is going to be brown pretty soon.
The, Black Eyes Skull Dragon. Yeah. Red Eyes, Black Skull. I don't fucking remember. It's Summon Skull and Red Eyes, Black Dragon together. I had
Black Skull Dragon.
Oh, okay. Like, I had fucking that as a...
yes.
It was sort of a model, but it was like maybe 25 pieces that you stuck together.
I
fucking loved
it. I remember that. I'm going to look that up real quick. Because I want to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty sad because, I mean, we had several boxes of, like, toys and stuff here before we ever cleaned them out. But, like, it just progressively got more and more scattered throughout the boxes. So, like, I'd find, like, half of him and I'd be like, where's his arm? And then eventually we ended up giving it to, like, Goodwill or whatever else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you having that thing. I remember one model thing that I wanted, that I always wanted, was, did you ever watch Metabots when we were kids?
No, but I knew of it.
Okay, so they...
I have the GameCube game.
Oh, Infinity?
Yeah. Apparently it's really good. I haven't played it yet.
I hear mixed reviews on it all the time.
Yeah.
But, so you can get models, like the Metabots models, where they come and it's like my One Piece ships and stuff, you know, where it's all like snapped together model kits, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the cool part about it is the Metabot ones, they come with like the tin pet, like the skeleton, and then you snap all the armor and shit over top of it. So it's like you're actually building a Metabot. It was super cool, and I always wanted one, but they were expensive. So,
man, all those
good
models
luck.
Are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy that, like, Happy Smile Company and Figma make models of almost literally every character in anime, like the current big animes.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm a little sad because they're always, like, you know, either a little bit cheap or they're not printed as well, or the arms or whatever will be on, like, literal ball joints. So, like, it's accessible at this point now, but it's still not quite to a point where I'd like it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like statues and whatnot, they're kind of growing as, like, a toy industry. So hopefully one day we'll reach a point where we can get $30 statues that are,
I hope
you
so.
Know, solid pieces. Because I know, like, the Evangelion ones that I really like, they're, like, 2 feet tall and $400.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I keep getting messaged. I think she forgot I was recording.
Nah, that's art.
God damn.
ain't nothing wrong with Solid Snake. They found me.
Oh god, dude. We had, because I have to edit it today. We recorded our other podcast yesterday. For anyone listening, if you want to hear more of me, I'm on another podcast called Podcast TBD.
I'm on episode 6 of that one.
Yeah, it's a gooder. We talk about anime, like our favorites and stuff. But I can't remember what they were saying, but there was a point where it's like, oh god, I've been found out or something. And then my phone went off and it's like, bring the fucking Metal Gear sound. And it was just like the most perfect goddamn thing. And they're like, leave it in there. Leave it in there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That happens once in a while. Actually, it happens quite often because it's my text tone from my girlfriend. So, I mean, I hear it frequently. So I could be doing literally anything. Like, maybe I drop a spoon and catch it midair and get a text. Like, it happens pretty frequently.
That's actually really awesome. Yeah. That makes me happy.
I hate how the Samsung 4, like the phone I have, is just so goddamn loud. Like, I put it to the first volume, and it's just like, when I took the bus, you could hear that shit at, like, the front of the bus, and it pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I can't vibrate now. It's either silence and look for the light, or have sound on.
That's a bummer.
And I mean, if I have it on silence, I always fucking miss it, because I like to have my phone face down. Because I have, like, the commuter OtterBox case, right? So the edge around the screen is all rubber, so if I have it face down, it doesn't slide around. But the back case of the case is, like, the hard shell, so that shit will just, like, slide right off the goddamn table if I smack it.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm literally... Right now, I'm trying to find, because there were Metabot games.
Yeah.
On, like, there were games on, like, the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
And we only got the one, which was a fucking bummer.
Yeah.
And, like, it was really fun. It was, like, three-person, like, turn-based RPG kind of things.
Oh, cool.
And I know they did some on, like, the DS, and right now I'm trying to see if there's, like, a ROM I can download with, like, an English translation.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, while you're looking for that, I'm gonna go check on my dog, and then we should probably wrap this up.
Sounds good. Okay. Meh, no luck. I guess I'll just go without ever playing another Metabots game.
Time to learn a whole language for one game.
Yeah, right? Well, that's the only reason why, like, it's not the only reason, but it's a big reason why I want to learn Japanese at some point, is because they get games we don't.
Yeah. I mean,
so
I don't know, maybe we can do that together, because I was going to start getting back into it.
Yeah, worth a shot.
Like, okay, so are we going to wrap this up?
Yeah, I think we're going to wrap this up. So, thank you, everybody, for joining us for episode 8 of the Infinity Games podcast.
Yay!
All the episodes!
Get ready for 7, 8, 9 fucking jokes next podcast.
Hooray! Wait, I thought we were skipping episode 10, because I thought episode 7, 8, episode 9.
Sure, we'll just skip to 42 like we wanted to, right?
Yes! Dreams do come true, kids.
Yes, and our dream is for you to subscribe.
Yes, do that.
If you've listened this far, I think you should probably do that. Or go listen to our others. You can find us on YouTube, iTunes, the Google Play Store, or rather Google Play Music. Or, if you have an RSS reader, you can just copy our feed URL into that and get us in your favorite reader. If you want us to talk about anything, if you have any, like, any feedback, if you want to tell us something that we missed, like, when we were talking about skill points, if we missed your favorite game, tweet it at us. Like, you can get us on Facebook at Infinity Games Podcast, or you can get us on Twitter at games_podcast.
Yep, hit us up. We would love to hear from you.